And now, if you will, turn to Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1, we'll take our reading from verse 17 through chapter 2. Jonah 1, verse 17, listen to this. This is God's very word to you. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight. Yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word to us, that in it we see a picture of Jesus as the waves and the billows of your wrath came down upon him. He was in our place. As he was in the belly of the earth 3 days and three nights, he was in our place. Let us see this in the life of the very real prophet who was very really in the belly of this fish. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. There is an old saying that you all know, and some of you know better than others. It's an old saying about hitting rock bottom. That in a very real sense, when you hit rock bottom, well, there are some things you must assess. And in a very real sense, the only place you can go from there is up. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that if I found myself being swallowed by a fish and I were alive inside that fish, it would provide some time for reflection that I might just say, you know, I've reached rock bottom and I need to assess some things in my life. And in some sense, our text brings us to that. Our text brings us to both sides of the story before he's in the middle of the fish and while he's in the middle of the fish and then after he is out of this great fish. That's where this text primarily lies, though, is in the belly of a great fish. And in this God-appointed fish, we are given this prayer of Jonah. In these circumstances, we get the sense of Jonah's prayer, and we get the faith in Jonah's prayer. And so those are our points this morning. Firstly, we're going to see the circumstance of Jonah's prayer. We're going to see the sense in Jonah's prayer. And lastly, we're going to see Jonah's faith in prayer. Jonah's circumstance of prayer, his sense in prayer, and his faith in prayer. So what's Jonah's circumstance? Well, you know it. When we left off a couple of weeks ago, the mariners had said to Jonah, "What shall we do to you that the storm will cease for us?" And Jonah, well, he had resigned himself to his guilt. He said, "My only hope is the mercy of God, and so cast me overboard." And verse 17 tells us where it picks up. "And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and nights." So where is Jonah? What's the circumstances of a prayer? Well, he's in the belly of a fish. Now, in your minds, you may say, "But this is unfathomable. How is he alive after having been swallowed by the belly of a fish?" Well, let me tell you, you're not the first to ask that. There are some who have, because they ask out of an unbelieving heart. They don't ask in faith, saying God has said this, and they have tried to question the truth of God's word. As a matter of fact, liberal theologians of the past have said this is impossible. The great fish that we know of, the whales, the large ones, well, they feed on plankton and the like. Well, the word here is not whale. The word here is fish. And, well, there's something else we're told about this fish. The Lord appointed this great fish. In other words, the Lord raised up this fish from the time that it was a little caviar, if you will, a little tasty morsel for some of you. Others of you are furrowing your brows. But from the time that it was a small egg, the Lord had plans for this fish. And as it grew, it's very likely that if this was just some ordinary fish, that it outgrew its peers. It was probably, well, the terror to those around it. But the Lord appointed a fish. He has done this. This is still His creation, after all. He can do with it as He pleases. So Jonah, the believing heart says, and our Lord Jesus says that Jonah was a real person, and this is a real story, not just a myth. Jonah, well, he's in the belly of the fish. Now, you say, why a fish? Why did the Lord have this fish swallow up Jonah and put him in there for 3 days and three nights? Well, a couple of reasons. A couple of reasons. Well, first of all, it ought to show you and to teach you the discomfort, the misery of running from God. This is not the Hampton Inn. There were no luxury beds with sheets that have been bleached with every guest. No, there's no white duvet cover. This is in the belly of a fish. And every sight that Jonah sees, and every sound that Jonah hears, and every, well, he's in the belly of a fish, so every smell that Jonah smells is to point him to the stench of death and the misery of running from the Lord. If there is no comfortable place in the fish. This is not Geppetto in the whale in Pinocchio. No, this is a very uncomfortable place. And the Lord has Jonah here because of his running. It's to show the misery of turning and running from God. But more than that, there's a great picture of hope. That the Lord has appointed this fish by His sovereign and eternal decree, that this fish would be raised up to point not just Jonah, but to us in a very real sense. We see a preparation for the coming Messiah. That the misery that we bring upon ourselves, the misery that we bring upon ourselves by turning and running from God, the stench of sin would be undone by the greater than Jonah who is to come. Jesus takes the sign of Jonah upon Himself, and He says, everything that Jonah represents in his running from God, I will undo by My person and work on behalf of sinners. We get this beautiful picture that this fish isn't just for Jonah's good, it's for our good. So that we can understand what is happening. That even that which looks hopeless and unsure, God can use to His glory. The sailors, as they pitched Jonah off to the side, they thought, well, you know, he's as good as dead. And as a fish swallows him up, they said, well, we know it now. There's no hope for that man. His God was so displeased with him that not only did the sea wash over him, but a fish swallowed him. It's hopeless. And as the spear went into the side of Jesus and blood and water poured out, and then Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea ask for the body and take him down, and they wrap him and put spices around him, and they prepare him and put him into the tomb. It's hopeless. This one we thought was the Messiah, this one in whom we have put our hope and stay in our trust, surely we thought He would deliver us. It's hopeless. And God can bring hope out of even the most frightful circumstances. He can use even those things to conform us to the image of His Son. You see, it is this fish that the Lord uses to represent to us the coming Christ's humiliation. That He would stay under the power of death, our catechism says, for a season. 3 days and three nights, verse 17 says. That's the time normally allotted, normally given in those days, in that time period, to confirm death. So that you, even though you see that Jonah is preserved, you must not miss the symbolism of death in this text. Because like Jonah, every man, woman, and child born into this world has embraced sin that leads to damnation and death, and like Jonah's death in the deep. Jonah's death in the storm takes him to the deep, but it removes the storm for the sailors. So Jesus' death and descent into the hell of God's wrath will take away the storm of His wrath from sinners. God is using Jonah's rebellion in order to point us to a greater reality, that one greater than Jonah, who did not rebel, one greater than Jonah, who instead of running from sinners, runs to them with legs of mercy. One greater than Jonah did not sin. And so He could remove sin from us. He went willingly with mercy to undeserving sinners. Jonah had run from God's mercy to sinners, and he did not want to see it displayed in the very way that God would display it. But Jesus comes to us, to those who see their hopelessness, to those who see themselves sinful, to those who see their need of His grace. Jesus comes to us and displays mercy to even the vilest offenders, even far more hostile to Him than Nineveh would have been to Jonah. He came to His own, and they received Him not. Jesus came to bring mercy to the vilest of sinners, to the thief on the cross, to Saul of Tarsus, to you. To you. And more than that, the circumstance of this fish is a picture of the hope of Christ's resurrection, that just in Jonah, as Jonah's descent into the deep signified his end, so Jesus' death and burial seemed to be his end. As they laid him there, surely in their hearts hope was gone. But God had greater plans. He had greater plans for Jonah. He's going to cause this fish to vomit Jonah up onto dry ground so that he can go with legs of mercy proclaiming the gospel to Nineveh. So the earth could not contain our Savior. So that it spat him up when he was raised. That he was vomited out. He could not remain in the grave by the power of God. So that for you and for me, our death is not the end. Our hope is in the One who has been raised, and we will be made like Him. That's the hope and the circumstance of Jonah's prayer. That Jesus was raised to life, to bring life to the world. But we also get Jonah's sense in prayer. Verse 17 tells us before and after, right? It tells us the good news that God appointed this fish so that it would picture Christ. And it tells us that He spat him up on dry ground so that it would picture His resurrection. But now we are brought to see Jonah's sense in prayer. What was he thinking as he was in this fish? Jonah has this internal turmoil. Look at these verses. I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and He answered me. Out of the belly of hell I cried, and You heard my voice. For You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All Your waves and billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from Your sight. Verse 5. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the root of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Jonah's in the belly of this fish. And he says, I am as good as dead. In the midst of this fish, in the midst of the sights and the sounds, and the reality of having been swallowed whole, eaten alive by a fish, sets in. It's death. It's death. This morning you may know the reality of your sin. You may know that you, even though you have seen the grace of God in your life like Jonah had. Jonah was a prophet, and yet he turned and ran from God. And you claim the grace of God has been active in your life. You know that you trust Jesus as your Savior, and you know you have sinned. And the reality of that sin is that it's heinous. And the reality of that sin is that it is death. And the reality of that sin is that it is everything that you ought to loathe. Just like being in the belly of a fish. And this morning it might be pressing down upon you. And if so, it's a mercy to you that you know that sin is not a pleasing thing. It's not pleasant. It is death. And it ought to be the stench of death in your nostrils so that it will keep you from turning from the Lord. Let it press in. Let it sink in and own it. But don't despair. Jonah is in the reality of being in a fish, and yet Jonah is not despairing. The reality, the symbolism of death is very important to this prayer. The sea represents death and its ability to destroy. And so Jonah cries out these things. This is what he sees with his eyes and feels with his body and smells with his nose. It's the sight and the feel and the smell of death. But he doesn't despair. He senses these things, but he also prays in faith. Because he doesn't just let that be that. What else does he pray? What else do we see in his prayer? Verse 4, "Then I said, I am driven away from your sight." But it doesn't stop there. Yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. 5 and 6 tell about the waters closing in over him. He's at the root of the mountains, at the very bottom, rock bottom. "Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord. My God, when my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But with the voice of thanksgiving will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord." That's the prayer of faith. What do I mean? Jonah is in the belly of the fish. He does not know that God is going to cause this fish to spit him out on dry ground. He thinks he's as good as dead, and yet he's looking to God in faith, not asking to be spit out, but with the eye of faith is seeing eternity, that he, well, in the very real sense, just like Job said, that he will with his eyes behold his Redeemer. Job, as his body was breaking down, as the boils were getting worse, as the stench of death was to his nostrils from his own flesh, Job said these words, "Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and lead they were engraved in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself. And my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me. That is the prayer of faith. You see the mess that sin has brought into the world. You see the mess that sin has brought into your own life. You see the reality that sin is heinous. But you cast yourself on the mercy of God. And you know that you do not judge His love by providence and circumstance. You judge His love by His promises to you. That any man who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. This morning you might be haunted by the sins of your past. You might think, Oh, this is such a great sin, so that you say with the psalmist in our Old Testament reading, my sins have gone over my head. Don't despair. Look to Christ in faith. So as Jonah prays, he sees himself wasting away, yet his hope is not shored up in his circumstances. His hope is shored up in God's promises to him, so that he says essentially, even in the midst of this death, I have life. Even in the midst of my own body breaking down, I have life. Even in the midst of the turmoil that sin has brought to me, I have hope in God. Because to be in God's covenant is to have life. The prayer of faith resigns itself to what God would have for us in this life. But it always keeps an eye upon eternity. It always remembers that God is the God of the living and that this life is not the end. What about you this morning? Have you ever come to the rock bottom of sin so that you begin to loathe it? So that you see that it has carried you away from the only one who has been good to you perfectly. To the only one who has never done an injustice to you. To the only one in whom there is mercy for salvation. Have you ever been brought to the reality that if it is not grace, you have no hope? Have you ever seen the mess you've made of your life and resigned yourself to God and cast yourself upon His mercy? Because the rock bottom for those who have faith is Jesus Christ. He is the rock that will not be moved. He is the rock that was cleft for us. Like Jonah today, don't look at your circumstances. Look to the Savior. Let's pray.